Israel's hope for a return of hostages and Palestinian hopes for an end to the Israeli bombardments lie in the small Gulf nation of Qatar. In Tel Aviv, against a backdrop of images of more than 100 hostages in captivity since the Hamas attack, one Israeli, Yoav Gabay, poses a question.
What pressure levers does Qatar apply on Hamas so that it accepts a deal that will bring the hostages back?
In Rafah, Ahmed Abu Taha says Palestinians in Gaza have a different wish. He's saying he wants to go back home. We've been dragged in the streets, rain, cold, disease, there is nothing left. With those voices in mind, I sat down with Qatar's prime minister. Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdulrahman bin Jassim Athani met me at his residence in Washington, D.C. after announcing a framework for a deal between Israel and Hamas. I asked if an agreement is truly possible when Israel wants a pause in the war and Hamas wants a full ceasefire and withdrawal of Israeli troops.
We cannot predict that. Is it going to have a breakthrough and will move forward very fast, or how fast it will go? It will all depend on both parties. Our aim is to finish this as soon as possible and to bring the hostages back, but to put a closure for the war as well.
You don't see this in days or in the next week, type of ceasefire and return of hostages.
Sometimes the negotiations can surprise us and can finish in days, but some other times also, we get stuck into details. It all depends on how the atmosphere will be in the two sides.
We're speaking at a time of extremely heightened tensions after a drone strike that killed 3 U.S. servicemen, wounded many others. How is that impacting negotiations, and what are your concerns for the region as the U.S. mulls how to respond to that drone attack?
First of all, I'd like to express my condolences for the loss of the U.S. soldiers and for their families. Look, the situation in the region is just stirring up, and we've seen the provocation happening every day and building up. We were warning that the situation will be exploited by others and might lead us to a wider regional war, then that's what we've been preventing, talking to everyone in order to de-escalate and to contain the situation. Is it impacting the negotiation directly? It's not. We are hoping that everything get contained as soon as possible. We understand the loss, and of course the U.S. has the right to decide on the way to retaliate. Just let's hope that we have a cooler heads ahead of us and doesn't get out of control.
For a lot of Americans, they don't understand Qatar's support for Hamas. If you could talk about why Qatar has been the home for Hamas officials and has had the support of Qatar.
Well, Qatar actually support peace, support the Palestinian people to live in dignity. We don't support Hamas or any political factions over there. In fact, Qatar support that goes to the Palestinians, 55% of that support went to the West Bank and 45% went to Gaza. And it went directly to the people. It has nothing to do with any political party over there. Hamas office in Doha, when it's established, was happening in coordination with the U.S. and was for a purpose. And this presence has served this purpose throughout the years. So it's part of our role as mediator. Unfortunately, this has been misused against us in many ways. They try to play the blame game against Qatar. It will discourage any other country from stepping up and playing a role in restoring peace and stability in our region. His Highness the Emir has been repeatedly saying to us, just ignore the noise and focus on your objective. If we are saving lives, that will be enough for us.
On that note, Israel's far-right wing finance minister Bezalel Smotrich said, Qatar encourages terrorism, finances terrorism, pushes terror, and is playing a double game. Leaked audio from Israel's prime minister and Benjamin Netanyahu called Qatar problematic and said that your country is failing to use the leverage you have over Hamas since Qatar houses and funds them, according to this leak. If you could respond to these remarks, including from a minister that's seen as quite extreme.
I won't bother in commenting on irresponsible remarks that, as you have just mentioned, but the premise of funding Hamas is totally rejected, and it's been clear from day one. The way we are funding Gaza, it was happening under his watch and under his government watch, other governments watch, and it's a very legitimate, transparent process that goes to directly to the people and is verified by the UN. I believe that all the people who knows and who understand the process, they know that these are lies and they are just trying to mislead the public opinion.
I want to ask about Israel's stated goal of this war and what the U.S. echoes to eradicate Hamas. In your view, is that possible?
Well, it eradicating a group does not have a definition. Definition is killing. We have seen the result of the war right now. More than 25,000 being killed. Two-thirds of them are children and women. Is that part of eradicating Hamas? If you want to replace an idea, you have to present a better idea. The better idea is prospects for the Palestinians, is a political horizon, and that's what all of us, we are seeking.
Should Hamas have a role in future Palestinian governance?
This is not for us to decide. It's the Palestinian people's decision, and I think they are capable to decide on their fate, on their future. We are supporting the Palestinians, and we would like to see a political prospects for them to have their statehood.
You're in the U.S. this week speaking to U.S. officials. You've been speaking to U.S. officials throughout this negotiation process. What is Qatar's main message to the U.S. as you describe a region, as you put it, that's boiling over?
Well, we need to focus on ending this war. We need to focus on overcoming the obstacles on the hostages deal and how to contain the situation in the region and how to ensure that there are better prospects for the Palestinians in order not to have such a conflict in the future.
If this doesn't end soon, what are the risks for a full regional war that drags the U.S., Qatar, and others into it?
Well, it will always remain a risk as long as this conflict ongoing. And I don't think that the situation is tolerable anymore. We've seen the humanitarian suffering in Gaza is something that we didn't witness in any modern war. Gaza is the only place where the people, they have no safe place to flee to. It's horrifying, it's heartbreaking. I think that we should all unite behind stopping this war, saving those lives, saving those children and those women from being killed and being chased and bombed by airstrikes, by tanks, by everything.
Prime Minister, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
The Prime Minister of Qatar, Mohammed bin Abdulrahman bin Jassim Athani. For more of our in-depth and varied coverage of this war, go to npr.org/Mideast updates.